You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Leon Bailey scores the winner as Aston Villa put on an impressive display at home, beating Man City 1-0. Erik ten Hag's Manchester United overcome reports of an unhappy dressing room and a defeat, a lacklustre Chelsea 2-1 at Old Trafford. Declan Rice heads in another late dramatic winner for Arsenal this season in a nervy 4-3 win at Luton Town, and Liverpool continue their good form with a 2-0 win over Sheffield United in Chris Wilder's first match of his return to coaching the Blades. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Okay, my friend, I know you had a day off and we're watching some of the games. I think we watched a couple of different games in different windows, but we've got to start at Villa Park, mate. Full raucous Villa Park. Fourth place Villa taking on third place Manchester City. It's a City team that come off three straight draws. When you think of Spurs, Chelsea, Liverpool. So, you know, decent opposition in some respect. But questions were being asked, Rob. We spoke on the podcast. You were sort of challenging, is there maybe a hint of complacency? Can you keep on pushing these players so far? I think eyes on this one for Villa. And I was interested in Villa in terms of, let me get a barometer of where Unai Emery and this group are. You know, he said he thinks Champions League maybe is a bit early for them yet. But their football's good, their structure's good, their way of playing's good. And I've got to tell you, Rob, it was fascinating how Aston Villa's football pinned back Manchester City. I've never seen a team. I've seen Liverpool beat City with their heavy metal football, intense speed, and you know, playing it at a manic level. We've seen other teams maybe with strength now and then, or free kicks, or set pieces. But this was Villa's structure. It was their composure. It was their tactic. And they pinned Manchester City back in a way, in styles I've not seen in the Premier League.
Well, you know, it's one of them, Rob, isn't it? Like, there's so many good games going on. Mm. And I think all the kind of the talk around Man United and Chelsea, that's the game that I watched in this window. But of course, I'm watching the highlights and the goal go in and everything else, and Leon Bailey's interview and everything else around the game. Mm-hmm. And it's just a fascinating, I guess you can give more detail of how they did that. The bigger picture from me, you know, this last few days, Rob, Pep's been quite defensive in terms of, you know, some of the comments from the pundits. And it was kind of funny, wasn't it, when he talks about the pundits over the last few days, you know, and he still felt very strongly that they're going to win the Premier League. He said it, you know, he said the way that they're playing, he thinks they're going to win the Premier League again. And what he didn't like, Rob, was the, I guess we hinted at it as well, that it looks like maybe the team is playing with a little bit of complacency, you know, hasn't quite got the same drive, the same desire, whether that's the same thing, maybe it isn't. I don't know. I think it's pretty close to being that, but so this result was like, wow. And you know, when I see the goal go in, I'm like, wow, is this going to continue with this? That's three losses now for Manchester City. And we always sort of say you can only afford to lose four or five really in this Premier League. So, you know, it's a headline. You know, I suppose if there's one place you don't want to go when you're not full of confidence and the football's not its best and you don't have Rodri again.
Yeah.
We've seen this movie play before where they lose when he's not playing in midfield. I know John Stones played in there, Rob, but you know, is it going to again, like the details, give me some more details. Did it seem like a performance that was lacking a little bit of drive from City, or if he's to believe, just things aren't quite going right, and they're still playing well. I mean, plenty of energy, pressing energy in that.
Well, I think, you know, you can make stats what you want of them, Rob, and you know, there was a certain stat that came out there. I think in the first half, Aston Villa had more shots at a Pep Guardiola team than in the past. Pep, up until I was listening to a press conference this morning, he was talking about, you know, our shots conceded are not any worse than any season we ever had. Our footballs is hitting the same numbers as we generally do. So he was talking, as you say, confidence about we'll get going. You know, we've won titles in the past from this place. This is what we do. That was pre-game. Yeah. After the game, Rob, was different. Pep was, I wouldn't say flat. Obviously, he's not going to be delighted because his team have got beat. But I thought it was the manner in the defeat. I thought Aston Villa did a brilliant job of disrupting City's play from the back. They never were allowed to build up and play into those midfield players and get turned and get the one. So it almost was, Rob, like they couldn't pick a rhythm, City. Couldn't quite get it going. And that was a credit to Aston Villa. So what we know with Unai Emery, he had Kamara and Luiz back in the team. He rolls Tielemans in from one side. He rolls in McGinn from the other side. They start to dominate possession in that area now because they're outnumbered. And then he's got Bailey and Watkins. Yeah. And what he did, the little tweak that was, I thought, especially good, Rob. So he tilted his team to the left side. So you know sometimes it goes one way or the other. So he tilts left. So Digne goes pretty much one-on-one with Walker. So we push that left side. So they get three at the back then. It's Konsa, it's Carlos, and it's Pau Torres. There's three centre-backs. Digne put Walker back so much that Walker couldn't affect the game, couldn't come in field, couldn't get wide, couldn't really affect. So they got numerical advantage inside. Somebody like Walker couldn't come in and help them. Just started to dominate possession. It was fascinating watch. And you could see that City were uncomfortable. It wasn't working. Half-time came. I said on air, Pep will tweak it. This is what he does. He changed Stones in a Kanji, put Stones back, put a Kanji in midfield next to Rico Lewis. Didn't really work. Had to go to his subs bench, get Kovacic on to try and get a bit of possession. But in that time, Villa had got a confidence. Their shape, Rob, Villa's shape when they were in the attacking half was the high press that we've seen, was stopping City getting out like a counter press. City were pinned back at times. Pinned back. You know what they do to the opposition?
Does that go back to that high line, Rob? The high line has positives and it has negatives. Yeah. We know what the negative is, but the positive is if you can put that press on, the high line enables that because everybody's closer to press, basically, and the gaps are smaller. And if you do it well at home with a big fan, then City can't get the ball spare somewhere, get the head up and dink it over the top. Which is what the problem is for Villa. So I guess if they do the press, that sounds like that's what works really well.
I tell you one other thing, that the factor that came out for me, and I didn't get a chance to kind of log how many times, but you know the release ball sometime is into, go past it, go into the big guy, Haaland, and then we'll play from there. We've seen him doing it against Arsenal. Every time they tried that, Villa went to intercept that ball in front. They didn't allow him to get that ball to at least hold it in. So there was no build-up play or no release. I mean, it was a clinic from Emery. It was an absolute clinic. Wow. Fascinating. I mean, you'll see the game. I'm sure you'll have a look at it. And it was a sobering day for City. And again, I'm I picked City to win the title, and I still think they will. And I think from this position, you know, everybody can talk about what isn't happening. I still think that this may be their dip, and others might have theirs later in the season, but I definitely feel, Rob, as though the competition, and I said it before, there's going to be less points won at the top of the table because the competition's better. The opposition teams, the opposition coaching, the opposition structures are much better. This is a better Premier League than we had last season.
I mean, we'll get onto Man United and Chelsea that where it could be even stronger. But it's a fascinating result. It's a fascinating result. That's Man City now, Rob, 6 points behind Arsenal.
Yeah,
6 points behind Arsenal and with three losses. I mean, that's some result. And Aston Villa, of course, going ahead of them. I mean, I think Arsenal... Didn't Villa play Arsenal next
Villa
weekend,
Villa play Arsenal,
I think Villa at home. Villa,
yeah.
I mean, they could go behind... They could go 1 point
that's
behind
late
Arsenal,
game on Saturday.
Aston Villa.
Yeah, Yeah, late game Saturday.
Right. I mean,
and Emery's got a bit of history with Arsenal, mate, hasn't he? He's got a bit of history.
Yeah, he has, yeah. I saw his interview afterwards. His smile was flipping as big as a TV. It's a remarkable job what he's done there, Rob. And again, because they're doing well, there's more articles, there's more insights, there's more player interviews, there's more, you know, and his attention to detail. I saw a big interview with Douglas Luiz actually talking about how you know, the hour and 15 minute tactical meetings are a bit tough.
Yeah.
But they're obviously, you know, when you do as well as he's doing, then the players buy in because they think something's really good happening. And brilliant. I mean, that's just a great story. And it's what makes the Premier League great. The treble champions like that are being humbled a little bit away from home. We know what it's like at Villa Park, both playing there and also being there
jumping,
recently to watch this team.
It was jumping today.
Yeah, I bet it was.
What about your underappreciated player of the week, my friend?
Well, I've got two this week.
Are you allowed to?
I changed him.
You changed the rules?
Well, I'm going to change him. Yeah, I've got a runner-up then. So my runner-up, my runner-up, and that's why I think I might have mentioned this guy earlier, Leon Bailey.
Yeah,
Leon Bailey's runner-up and underappreciated. Mm. I kind of get where he's not a consistent player on that right-hand side or the right-hand side or playing up front. The manager said about it afterwards that he's a fantastic player.
Yeah.
But isn't always consistent. But I just think, you know, when you've got that sort of talent, that ability. You know, obviously he made the difference today with a big deflection, of course, on the goal. Yeah. But he's got talent, and I just don't know whether he's a little bit underappreciated. I have another one which I'm going to chuck in later on. He's actually a little favourite player of mine. I'm surprised I've not had him this season. I don't think I have, to be fair. But we'll get to that later on.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, he's my runner-up. I was going to have him, and then I just had a little think. Yeah, he's my little runner-up.
Yeah, I'm happy with your little runner-up. One is Jamaican, so, you know, I'll big up the reggae boys. But, I think we're slightly underappreciated, Rob, as he come in from German football. He picked up a couple of bad injuries, didn't he, and was out and never kind of got going under CVG. And I think Villa fans got a little bit frustrated, like, what have we bought? Is it one of those who, you know, plays a couple of games, misses a couple of games? He's got himself fit now. He said he's working with Emery, he's understanding the system better, understands when, you know, he's out of possession, that he has an important role to play. And one of the things I think, just finishing on him and Unai Emery, Rob, is Emery's ability to affect games with his tactics and his personnel. You know, Mr. Diaby's been playing brilliant with Watkins, and I'm thinking he'll go with them too with a bit of pace on the counter-attack against the thing. Yeah, he does, and he goes with Tielemans and Bailey and what, you know. Yeah. And this guy obviously has a real... Yeah. And I think he wanted to get those extra men centrally to make sure they got possession, and you know, from there he's got Bailey's pace on one side, he's got Watkins' pace on the other. Quite like that one, run up for Leon Bailey, and a massive shout out for Unai Emery, really, who is no longer underappreciated. It was 4 years to the day, mate.
No.
He got sacked as Arsenal manager. 4 years to the day, and he was tainted then. And I think he probably left English football thinking it's not for me. I'll never get, you know, the respect that I deserve and should do. He's come back, and I tell you what, there'd be a few clubs who'd want him as their manager right now.
Well, it's funny you say that, and that's a really nice little link to our next game, Rob, which I believe it is the Manchester United. And now I'm not chucking his name into Man United, but is that a potential future target? Maybe Unai Emery, Man United?
Ooh.
Anyway,
Villa fans say
just
no.
I just thought about... I know, of course they do. And I wouldn't want it to change right now. It's a brilliant, brilliant fit right now. Okay, so Man United, Rob, this is the game I watched.
I didn't see this. I saw some of the goals, the highlights, but I didn't really get across this game.
Well, I guess the news at the start was that Marcus Rashford and Martial, particularly Rashford, was left out of the side.
Yeah.
So you had Antony on the right-hand side, who's looked a bit brighter of late, and you have Garnacho on the left-hand side, and Rasmus Højlund started up front, where Martial has been recently, and Bruno was in the hole, Amrabat and McTominay in midfield, Shaw on the left-hand side, Lindelof, Maguire and Dallow on the right. You know what's fascinating about this? It's like all the pressure and all the questions of Erik ten Hag this week, Robin.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the thoughts of is this the guy, and the Newcastle performance lacked everything, fight, everything that he says that they had. Well, they came out in this game at Old Trafford, Rob, and it was a totally different attitude. I mean, very, very quick start, very sharp football, front foot. And they're Man United fans, Rob, and I've said it before, and I continue that they're great fans. Mm. They whatever happens at this football club, it seems like, and they've had a ton of great times, and they've had some inconsistent, frustrating times. Yeah. They are waiting, ready, willing, and able to jump with this team and to get behind the team. So when Man United start their football quickly, they move it around, they get it to the wide players who are sharp, then the fans get into it. It was an excellent kind of mental kind of performance, particularly in the first half, the first 25 minutes or something. They should have been 2 or 3 up, Rob. This game should have been done and dusted early on.
Bruno has the pen early. That decent save from Sanchez.
Yeah, VAR spots a foul that the referee didn't at the time. Didn't look a lot in it, but again, you see it on the video, and he was a little late, and he catches him as Enzo that was late to the ball, but missed a penalty. And it's it's our guy again, Rob, that isn't really fashionable, is he, Scott McTominay? No. He's simple, Rob. Again, like what you used to do in midfield, you used to keep it simple. You timed your runs into the box. Mm. You're good in the air. That's Scott McTominay's doing that. That's all he's doing. But he's got great height. He's got a willingness and an ability to get forward. And he's just a big guy. Yeah. And he gets in the box, scores a winning goal. He always gets himself in good spots when the ball comes in there, whether it's on the ground, whether it's in the air. And he's won the game for Manchester United today. So he's part of the story. There's a few parts to the story. There's Marcus Rashford and Martial. And I'm not going to connect it like the energy.
The desire, the
effort was different because it just happened today. It was. There was tons of energy and effort when those two were on in the side. Now, of course, the test for this football club and its team is to try and do that week in, week out. Yeah. But just credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
And maybe this is where we are with these two football clubs. We'll get on to Chelsea in a second. But the inconsistency, the Jekyll and Hyde of Man United is just crazy to me. And I don't know. You've got to give him credit and the manager credit for that. He's been on the ropes, Erik ten Hag. He's been on the ropes this week, getting bashed from all over. And yet, he managed to get a pretty good performance out of this team. That being said, Robin, I'll let you come in a second. Mm. It wasn't without problems and issues. And as good as they were building the play through and creating opportunities, and they should, again, honestly, they created so many good chances. They should have scored a lot more goals. Defensively, loose, and it's a concern. We know there's a few players injured back there, but it was Maguire and Lindelof, and they looked like conceding many times in the first half, Rob, and Chelsea were blown away.
Yeah,
Chelsea were blown away with their football, but when the two or three occasions where they did got something going, they looked like scoring every time. So that's something that is still there.
Yeah.
But the attacking performance, Rob, I'll let you come in now, was better. But again, defensively, they could have conceded a couple more goals.
The problem is with both of these clubs, and I know you'll talk Chelsea a little more after, is when you see a performance like that, Rob, and McTominay deserves a lot of credit because, just like you say, his desire to keep getting in the box and make things happen and get important goals. Mm. He's top Premier League scorer now with 5 Premier League goals.
Yeah.
All of them important. All of them have been so useful to the team in difficult circumstances. But you get to the spot, Rob, where... Okay, so it was Antony, Garnacho and Højlund at the moment. Højlund's not scored. Garnacho has got great moments. Antony's disappointed.
Yep.
What do we do next week? Do we go with those three again, and then when they're not very good, we go back to... How do we... Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the issue with Man United is... I can't trust anybody over a period of time yet. Do we have to get through that with whoever we feel and go, you know what, I'm going to... Like Pochettino seemed to be, I'm going to take the ups and downs and hopefully we're going to hit a good place in the future. Or, does Rashford come back in? Does one of them come back in and Martial and... change the centre-back, I don't know, put Shaw back centrally and bring Wan-Bissaka in next to Dal. Do you know what I mean? I just don't know where the consistent thoughts go with consistent performances.
Well, that's a great point, Rob. That's a great point because I read something this week talking about Erik ten Hag that seems to change his preferred players. His favourites seem to rotate.
Mm.
There was obviously Maguire was pushed out and now he's in again.
Yeah.
Varane was everything great and then he's out. You had Wan-Bissaka's been in, been out. Yeah. We're seeing it, maybe Martial with Rashford was in, was out again. Eriksen was the flavour of the month. Now he's not. I know there's injuries chucked in there as well, I think that's a fair. I kind of reading this article and thinking that's kind of a fair point that his favourites and Maguire is, and there's no reason why you can't bring a player back in that you.
He was so far
out of it, Rob. He had fullbacks playing in there, and all of a sudden, like, Varane's out now, so Varane's out of that. So maybe it's the nature of his squad, and maybe some of the ageing players can't do it every week. And what I would say is, and maybe it's easy to say this after this performance, Rob, I would love to see a run of games. And by the way, these aren't perfect, but that front three you talked about, there was energy, Rob. There's youthful energy from those three players. Garnacho, I like him a lot. Yeah. I just think he's a talent. I'd play him for the majority of the games. He's going to need a rest now and again. I really like his development on the left. Rasmus Højlund is still, of course, looking for his first Premier League goal. But you can see he's got a bit about him. Yeah. And Antony, not one of my favourites, but give him a run when he's playing a bit better. And similarly in midfield, Bruno did great things again. I don't know, Rob. It's such a difficult one to read. When they give this sort of attitude, then, you know, people like us and everybody else, pundits and stuff, if they give the effort like we saw today, then that's what it is. They left everything out there. There was nothing like the Newcastle game.
Shouldn't that, Rob, be a given? Isn't that something? How are we asking you know, top players like these at a top club just to give us the effort?
And by the way, Rob, to continue that point, when people see the Newcastle performance, right, it follows that the media, and maybe us to a certain degree, Rob, though I'm not sure we said that he lost the dressing room, but that was a narrative this week, Rob.
That was
a narrative. And the Sky journalists, come out and said 50%
banning the team journalists and that, which is...
I mean, I did think the comment was like, really? It was the guy off of Sky Sports
Solicol or something. He goes, I've got an insider. Like, wow. Once they say they got an insider, that's them making it up.
Yeah, it could be anybody. Yeah, and so I understand the frustration from the club. I do not, by the way, and I'm not sure I'll ever agree with a journalist being banned from a press conference.
It wasn't a good move. Not a good look for
journalists. A journalist.
Yeah, he's got a job to do. Job to do. You don't like it. There's plenty of times they write stuff about you, Rob, or performance and that, and you'd love to say, but you get on with your job.
You've got to let them do their job.
You're paid professional. Talk to me about Chelsea, mate. What am I thinking about Pochettino and his team? Can I love them? Can I stay with them? Where are we with the project, Poch's project?
Well, the Poch project is stalling, Rob. It wasn't a great engine to start with, and it's spluttering along and it's stalled today. They got blown away, I would say, in the first 10, 15 minutes. It could have conceded two or three goals, Man United's football. Defensively, all over the place. Changes again. Cucurella, the left-footed fullback, played on the right back. Came off. Reece James coming for the second half for him. Colwell played at left back. You had the most expensive midfield in the history of the game. I'm joking there, but very expensive midfield in Enzo Fernandez and Caicedo. We're chasing shadows a little bit earlier on. Disjointed. Really, really poor performance. That being said, Robert Sanchez saves a penalty. Yeah. Like, well done. And then 10 minutes later, when he's trying to play out, it gives the ball straight to the opposition for a chance. So a really slow start. Not in it. I'm going through my notes, Rob, of the game. Not in it. Blown away. Awful. That's some of the things that I've gotten for the first half. So disjointed. And then you get a little bit of quality from Cole Palmer just before halftime to make it 1-1. And then they're back in the game. And the second half, to be fair, was a bit more kind of end-to-end, a bit more open. But Man United deserved to win the game. And Scott McTominay scores a winning goal. Mm. You know, back to where we are with Chelsea, Rob, I think we are exactly where we've been all season. That there's the odd day. This team can show up and play well, take some chances, win games. But there's many, many days where it's not at that level. And some of these players are not able to be consistently good. And that's what makes you champion players, the ones that have got real talent, that can do special things. And they can be close to that every single week. Now, there might be a few players who can do special things in this Chelsea squad, but there's no, I'd say there's any of them at the moment that can't do it week in, week out consistently. And this was, as much as I was impressed with Man United, I was disappointed with Chelsea, Rob, that they they couldn't really match Man United, who haven't been brilliant this season, are not flipping world beaters. But they offered very little, Rob. And I think Pochettino's got, he's got problems. So much to think about with his squad, what they've got, what they might need. There's players coming back. There's not a ton of injuries now for Chelsea, Rob. It's not as though they're missing a ton of players. Nkunku, of course, is the one that we all want to see back. Yeah. I don't think Christian Nkunku is going to make a big difference to this Chelsea side. So lots of work to do at this team. They're still 10th place in the Premier League and we're well short, I thought, in this game.
We have got a window, so I suppose that's something, especially with Chelsea, you never know the kind of numbers and money that might be spent. I kind of get the sense, Rob, with Chelsea, based on what I've seen, what you said has happened today, almost like every game of this season is almost like just an experience for this group to get through and show what we can do on winning days, show what we can do on bad days, and show what, and almost get these players through this first year and get to this to the summer, and then like, okay, we've had 38 games as a group together. This is what we are. This is because, you say, you just don't. The problem with this United, to a certain degree, and Chelsea more so, is you just really don't know what you're going to get. They've had 4-4 draws with Man City. They beat Spurs down to 9 men. They've had, played well against Arsenal. There's moments when their footballs look quite good, and you start to see things, and you see the upside of some of these young players who could go on to be great players or could turn out to be actually average Premier League players. But I just feel as though everything's an experience which is going to hopefully set them up for things looking forward. But as to now, I really just don't know what to expect.
Just to follow up, Rob, on that, because I totally agree. And you remember I said at the start of this conversation that Man United were loose at the back and they had chances. Yeah. This sums it up, Rob. Mikhailo Mudryk and Nico Jackson both should have scored in the first half.
Jackson
in the first
35
minutes. I made note of the chances, and they had really good, like they're in on goal.
Yeah.
So, and the one word we've done analysis on the Chelsea forwards is erratic. And the finishes were erratic, and the front line is erratic, and the team is erratic. End off. That's it. However you want it, that's kind of their story. They're inconsistent. They're erratic. Now, whether that erratic can go into productive and consistent, that's the biggest question of all, Rob. And that's why when you say, let's see after 38 games, listen, everybody, that's the season. That's the Premier League. Right. What are we going to do now? And that will then. I honestly, my gut feeling is that some of these players, and Mudryk has been a little brighter in patches, but the likes of Mudryk, I'm going to say Nico Jackson, Madueke, a couple of others, I just don't think they are the players that Chelsea expect or want them to be. Remember, the comment from the owner, Rob, is like,
100-point
players. I want to sign players that can be at 100-point Chelsea team that can be part of a 100-point challenge, and that's a tremendous flipping.
Sure. That's
a great target. So this is the players we want to sign, but how can you say that with some of these that haven't done much at the highest level or are younger? And so we don't know. And I think that I'm not sure that's a lot different analysis, Rob, from what I've said 2 or 3 months ago. But the more you see them, there's good bits and there's bad bits.
Isn't it funny, Rob? Only that I'm just looking at underneath the banner underneath our show here, and it's saying Manchester United 2, Chelsea 1. Goals by Scott McTominay and Cole Palmer. Two things just stood out to me. Both of those players, I know Chelsea have bought Palmer now, but both those players came through an English academy. So sometimes buying stars, The other thing is, and it's just hit me with McTominay, is in terms of what you would class, real football ability, the ideal midfield player. I'm not sure Scott McTominay would tick that many boxes, but just a consistency, an energy, and a keep doing what he's good at, know your game, makes him a very effective and very important part of a Manchester United team that spends hundreds of millions of dollars on players that sometimes don't even look like inches or don't look that great. It's amazing, isn't it?
No, you're right. I mean, I tell you what, I wouldn't want to mark him midfield. I wouldn't want to pick him up running into the box, Scott McTominay. And just final thing, Rob, that, when we played Man United and they produced that, Ferguson produced those two really great teams, they used to buy the best players in the Premier League, didn't they? For the most part. Yeah. They'd go and buy the best player from West Ham or the best player from Tottenham.
Spurs
and
that,
then you know that they're, like, as your phrase is, like, you know that they're plug and play. Yeah. Like, you can go and buy, I mean, they almost, well, they didn't almost, but they, the Harry Kane thing would have been perfect.
Berbatov, I can think Teddy Sheringham, and the different players
that were great in other clubs. Mm. Come in, you know what they're going to get. Robin van Persie. Yeah. You know, I still think Man United's pull, the money they can offer, you could still go and grab a lot of really, really good players from other Premier League sides that know the league instead of pulling out players from different leagues. And maybe there's a balance to be had there, but I just, that was the philosophy of Man United many years ago, and it was a blimmin' good one. Well, even Paul Introp, and there's so many players that came from other clubs and made great.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Teams.
Great segue, anyway. Great segue, my friend, because I want to take you to Kenilworth Road, where there was a certain player who I think would have been a Manchester United kind of shoo-in, a certain Declan Rice, who comes up with another incredible moment in the dying moments of a game that was well thought out, was well contested, had some physical elements, was a real test for Arsenal. A test which they end up coming out on top, courtesy of Declan Rice, header late on. I mean, this game, Rob, had everything. It was everything that you want from the Premier League. It was what I want to see from Luton in terms of really going at teams and making it difficult. You've got to credit Arsenal for coming back again in difficult circumstances and finding a way to win. Where do you want to start? Arsenal overall, the win? Do you want to talk about Declan Rice?
Let's go overall.
Let's go overall picture on an Arsenal win.
I think there is three angles here, Rob. I think there is a bigger picture with Arsenal.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely a conversation with the goalkeeper we've got to have. And the Declan Rice and maybe one or two others. Okay, so how are we looking at this? I saw the game as well, by the way. Are we looking... Because the obvious thing is, like, the feel-good factor... And that late goal, and the is, you know, everything about Declan Rice, you know, that was great. And there's a belief that will come off the back of that, and the whole something special's happening, Rob, will flow from the back of that.
Correct.
But didn't we see this lots of times from Arsenal last year, Rob? Mm. They did this a lot of times last year, Arsenal. Yeah. They won a lot of games late. Yeah. They won a lot of tight games, you know. And people like us are saying, wow, this could really be the season, And then it fell down late for other reasons, really. Mm. So I don't know whether this is anything. And when it happens, Rob, and I didn't see all your comments in the studio afterwards, but it's very easy to sort of say, well, this is a sign of champions and this is what champions do. But to be fair, we saw this a lot last year. I still don't really think, and this maybe this is a little bit... We ain't going to know until later in the season whether Arsenal... have learnt from last year. We can say things like they look stronger because they do, and they've won in different ways, which they have. And they got a guy we'll go on to talk about in Declan Rice. That's a driving force that they never had last year for sure. Now that all might pay dividends in the last 2 months of the season, but until that 2 months comes, Rob, I can't look at that and think they conceded three goals to Luton to come back away from home at Luton Town. Yeah, it was great. And a few of my Arsenal friends are texting me and and it's a great moment. But should Arsenal fans be to temper that a little bit, given the opposition and how they conceded three goals, Rob? Just before we get into goalkeeper, what do you think to that?
I think less. I would think less because I thought you found Luton on a good Luton day, in good Luton circumstances, with a good Luton environment, where at best you might have got a draw, in some days. Could have lost that. Could have lost that game 3-2. And so where I would disagree a bit in the that we saw those days last year is that what we've just seen with City, we haven't seen some of City's days from last year, and I know it's early for them and they maybe come second half of the season, but they found a way to get the 3 points. Now, I'd like to think the experience of last year and some of those things will put them in better stead when those times come along this year for them. So, like you say, maybe control the game better, maybe not concede 3 goals, 2 from set pieces from against the Luton team. Maybe, you know, adjust some of those things so we're not in that position. But it isn't half good when you think we 3-2 down and we've got to find a way back into a game and we get 2 goals and we win it. I think that overrides the other side, which I get. And listen, 3 goals to a promoted team and game that's open, that's physical at times, you know, you weren't way which who was going to win it or whether they'd end up with a point. They end up with 3 points from that game, Rob. Know what it's like. We've all been there and had late winners and dressing room and training ground and all that. But I do think, and I have to point to the guy again, that midfield player who they've signed for up to $138 million is a difference maker. He's a difference maker to the club. He's given that team an extra beat, heartbeat, a bit of soul, a bit of personality and character that they didn't have last year. They didn't have that last year. They had steel and they had a go, but they were a bit short. This guy is not going to allow him short. This guy's drive to win a Premier League title is incredible. He wants a title, mate. He ain't left West Ham and his Conference League trophy to come here and be second. And we spoke to him. I don't know if you saw the interview, mate. We did a little two-way. He was right there after it. I mean...
Brilliant.
For him, the way he talks about Arsenal, if I was an Arsenal fan, I'd love him from that moment on. He talked about like it was a privilege to play for Arsenal and that how much he is driven to do well and wear that shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the interview and you can't love him anymore. Even the respect for, and this is something stupid, Rob, right? But even the way that he finished that interview with you guys, he was like, thanks for having me or thanks guys, you know, enjoyed that. It's like, he's so, I don't know, he's a good human being. Mm. He's a good human being. And the way he scores the goal, the desire to get in the box, he described it. You can see the ball's going to come in first time. Yeah. He read that. He gets behind a defender. Then he finds a way to get in front of him. He jumps early. He nods it in the corner. It was a marvellous moment. And he is a brilliant player. And I don't want to say that. We knew it. I wasn't bothered how much they paid for this guy. Because whoever was going to get him was going to get a brilliant leader, a great player. Mm. Who's a regular 8 out of 10 player for 10 years because of his age and of his experience. He's durable, Rob. He never gets injured. Yeah, everything. So that side of it, absolutely fantastic. And we saw the midfield that I think Arteta does want to make work. It's Havertz on the left, Rice and Odegaard.
Was that Havertz my underappreciated player of the week last week? Who is it that guy? I wasn't sure whether that guy Havertz or not.
Well, it was that
guy. Come on.
This is work that needs to be appreciated. My point was, he hadn't done a lot of work that needed to be appreciated.
My work has been done.
So maybe the underappreciated from Rob Beale has absolutely taken him to a whole new level. And to be fair, you know, this was one of his best games, in terms of getting forward. And that's where he's going to be at his best. He's going to be at his best as an attacking number 8, which, to be fair, the manager, that's why, and he told us personally, that's why he was bought. He's been a little bit, you know, he didn't start great, but now he can find a bit of a groove, a bit of a rhythm, be a consistent scorer. Maybe expectations were that Kai Havertz was going to go there and light it up and be a player that we never saw at Chelsea. And we haven't seen that, but maybe there's a player in there, Rob, that's, even though it's quite a big fee, that he can chip in. He can chip in with some goals, and maybe we won't always be in the first 11. You know, it's the expectations of what you expect from a player. But credit again, you know, he's got another goal. Yeah. He's in a good spot. He's playing in and around the striker, which is good. Jesus does a lot of work in and around the box.
Yeah.
So maybe Havertz understanding with Jesus could be a key, could be a real key for Arsenal if he can make the flick-ons and all that to get the goals.
Did you not think, just before we talk to about the goalkeeper, because I think it is an issue, and Tim and I talked off air a little bit about it as well, but Just in that game yesterday, Rob, I got there was a sense around, let's say 25 minutes into the game, when I thought Luton had the feeling like they're going to bully this Arsenal team. There was a few challenges.
They got scrappy.
Yeah,
they were scrappy,
and I thought Kai Havertz kind of was good for them through those moments, mate. He won a few headers, used his size and physicality. And I thought he kind of showed one or two of the others. Martinelli was getting a little bit of stick, was getting a few challenges. Saka got caught, with a tackle in midfield. And it was one of them days where I thought Kai Havertz took a little bit of ownership of that and was important for them to get them through that spell. And maybe that's a little bit of Arsenal that's better from last year again. Like, I think if you want to scrap it out, they look like they might say now with Rice, with Havertz, with that back two and maybe the Ben White or whatever. Come on, then. If you want to fight, we'll have a fight as well.
No, that's a good point, Rob. And I didn't notice that. And that's I mean, because he's a big lad. Yeah. I mean, he's a big guy. And if he can be, he obviously got to control that a little bit. But then, if you can bring some physicality into that midfield with Rice, and you're right. I mean, Willem Saliba continues to look absolute $1 million as a central defender. Yeah. And we'll never forget how his missing of last year,
what that meant,
you know, was a big part of it. I thought Ben White deserves a mention as well. The little clip up for the Jesus header was a brilliant. I like Ben White, and I know it. Tomiyasu's done a good job. I know he's out.
He's out for a little while now, isn't he?
But Ben White. I really like Ben White as a player as well. I just think Luton made the game scrappy, which is what they set out to do. And after Arsenal conceded, I just looked at it like same time as you would think, like, wow, this looks a little rocky here. Arsenal didn't have the control of the game that they wanted to have, but that is what Luton try and do to you. And that's when I'm sat there thinking, God, if you champions would find a way to get back in control of this.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm wanting the perfect performance of a champion team all the time, and we all know that can't happen. But they got a little ragged, a little scrappy, and I'm thinking, wow, Arsenal are going to struggle here, and they were struggling because of one person between the posts. So let's go to the goalkeeping situation, Rob, and let's remember and remind everybody this was a decision by the football club and Mikel Arteta to bring in David Raya. Whether it was a competition or whether he just felt that he was a better goalkeeper than Aaron Ramsdale. But do we not have a situation now, Rob, where both goalkeepers are not playing well?
Yeah,
that being said, Ramsdale's had a few opportunities. When do we come to a point, right, where... Because I feel Ramsdale should come back into the side. Maybe, and I'm not sure it's going
to
happen.
Yeah. But Ramsdale, I said that to Tim,
I know he looked based shaky on, last time.
Based on what he said and the way that he's talked about the two goalkeepers and, I'll play him, who's in form and all that. Now I would say if you're Aaron Ramsdale, you're thinking, well, that's it then, isn't it? He's made two mistakes. Yeah. When I made mistakes, I came out of the team. Tim said to me, now would be the time not to do that. He said, you've got to back Raya now or you lose Raya totally. And you're not sure how well in you are with Ramsdale. So basically, you've undermined two goalkeepers. You've got two goalkeepers in a similar frame of mind.
They're probably nervous as anything, Rob. Both nervous as anything in the team.
In one respect, Rob, I was thinking about it last night, and I was thinking, well, I suppose if it was David Raya's mistakes and we lost, or at least drew, that would have been worse, wouldn't it? Because the mistakes, and that's the reason we've lost the points. He's made the mistakes and we've won the point. So in some respect, isn't that a better, that's a better outcome than it could have been. I think the problem becomes, Rob, if other people start thinking, this goalkeeper's not great, let's get at him, and it starts to become a thing. Like, it had gone a little while ago, everybody didn't like it, but, Raya's going to be the number one and Ramsdale's number two and Ramsdale's got to get on with it. All of a sudden now, because Raya's made mistakes, it's back out there. It's lit up again. Like, well, is Raya really that much better? Doesn't Ramsdale deserve a chance? And I just hope this conundrum, this issue, doesn't affect Arsenal and affect Mikel Arteta's thinking.
Yeah, I get all that, right? The manager's there to play in the best interests of the team.
Yeah.
And I think, one of them is going to make it his own a little bit and play well. Raya is not playing well. if you put in Ramsdale now, and I totally, of course, respect what Tim says about you could lose him, you know, after a bad performance. Put in Ramsdale. Let's see if he can have a good game. He has another good game. And if he's playing well, he stays in.
Yeah.
That's in the best interest of the team. In the best interest, it's not the best interest of the team to keep with a guy that you made a big decision to bring into the club. You felt he was going to be better than your current number one. And at the moment, and he's not at the moment. So play the other guy to make your team stronger.
So, what you're saying is, I don't disagree because I think the same. And I think if I'm Ramsdale, but you're also saying that I'm going to admit that actually my first decision was wrong, and I'm going to be big enough to say it was wrong, and then you come, Aaron Ramsdale.
Well, it doesn't have to be like a so conclusive as decisive that, Rob. It's just a matter of, you know what, David Raya's in goal hasn't, you know, we'll never say that, but he's made a few mistakes. The other guy has a go. Unless there's something happened between Aaron Ramsdale and the manager where the he's trust really has gone, then why wouldn't you want a guy that did a brilliant job last year, to get back in there and maybe establish himself, and you have a good goalkeeper. At the moment, it's shaky.
I would agree.
He looks really shaky.
I think Ramsdale, under those circumstances, would actually grow into that and think, right, here's my chance, now it's down to me. And he might just get the best of Aaron Ramsdale right on top of his game again because he kind of recognises that this is the issue.
Yeah. And Ramsdale probably sat there, Rob, thinking, hang on a minute, like, you know, there's a lot thought of David Raya.
Yeah.
He isn't all that. Get me back in there and I'll get back to my... And everybody's happy. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think the manager's going to stick with him. And by the way, you know, like you said, the team did magnificently well to come back from a situation where, I mean, there was two goals that he conceded there, particularly the header one, Rob, is like, there's nobody around. Yeah, he just was nowhere near it. I mean, that's...
Tim said he's obviously... Tim felt he's got in his own head a bit with, like, that one and then the dive under the thing. Yeah. He said he's got to get his head right. And Tim said, which is interesting, Tim said, that's a massive confidence thing, what we've seen there. That's when your confidence is low. Yeah. So, we'll see. So, interesting times ahead for Arsenal, but a great win. Brilliant drama again, and 3 points that took him top of the table, and obviously after the City result now, gives him a 6 point.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Gap. Let's move on to Sheffield United, mate. Mr. Chris Wilder was back, so the Blades thinking that, you know, one of their own is back in charge and maybe they'll change their look. Not really the case. Liverpool 2-0 winners. Sheffield United in this, I saw a few of the highlights, had a few breakaways, a few little looks at goal, but didn't really threaten too much. A Van Dijk goal from a corner kick. I think there was a player fell over. He gets left free in the box, he scores. Szoboszlai with a lovely composed finish when the ball comes to him after Domi Nunes had tackled for the ball. I think some Sheffield United players maybe thought it might have been a foul. I didn't particularly think it was. And Nunes won the ball and played in Szoboszlai. And I mean, talk about calm. It was interesting when I saw the Nicholas Jackson chance for Chelsea when he got played to him, take a bad touch and hit the goalkeeper. Then you see Szoboszlai take a touch and just like wait for the goalkeeper down and lift it over him. And you know, that's just that little bit of composure that's so different in the box. And Liverpool get a very important 2 points on the road at Sheffield United.
Yeah, I mean, of all the clubs in the Premier League, Rob, towards the top, I still feel that Liverpool is going somewhat under the radar, that, you know, in terms of the title. They're going to be in it, aren't they? They're going to be in. They're going to be in the race. I know there's going to be moments defensively, and that might trip them up at the, when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
But you've got to like the way that this Liverpool team is coming together. We know the midfield's been much changed. They're scoring some great goals. They're playing great football. Big Virgil van Dijk seems to be getting close to his best again.
Yeah.
Again, couldn't look at every detail of this game. There's so much going on.
Yeah.
Of course, in the windows today. But it's a good result. And I saw the finish from Szoboszlai, and it's like a little, you know, lovely touch on the board, a little caress into the corner. They're going great. I mean, Sheffield United got it all on to stay up. Chris Wilder's back in there. Of course, he was at my old club, Middlesbrough, for just short of a year, I think it was. And there was some good stuff at the beginning. Then it fell away pretty quickly. Is it going to be the first season of Sheffield United under manager, or the second season? I think that was the COVID season, which really affected the team, given how their supporters get behind the team. So, you know, it's a toss of the coin that they wanted to go with Chris Wilder.
Yeah.
It's the emotional one, isn't it? Can you rev everybody up? Can the fans on board?
I said on air the other day, Unai Emery had probably never been to Birmingham until he got to Villa, and Roberto De Zerbi never heard of Brighton until he, you know, this romantic link and, you know, the one of them, and he's got our DNA. It's great, mate, but win football matches. Yeah. Win football matches, get your team out of trouble, and that's going to be the big thing for Sheffield. Just for Liverpool, Robin, I was thinking about this the other day, and I mean, Kelleher's come in for Alisson. Just injuries. Alisson's got picked up, and I hear Matip's possibly ACL, we're hearing, could be out for maybe most of the season. It's an area where you have never quite, obviously, Konate's to come back in, Gomez can play there, as we've known, but, you know, especially when Trent's coming in from that right-hand side, and it's a different role now for the right-sided centre-back. Could that be something that might just be a little bit of a problem to Liverpool?
Yeah, I'm not Matip's biggest fan. You know, I'd rather like Konate. I think Joe Gomez can play along there. I just don't know whether that's a position, Rob, that they might try and address in the
window,
the January window. Yeah, because I like Konate, and I think the performance level that he's capable of is really, really high. I think, you know, picks up a lot of injuries, and I don't know. I think defensively is where I still got a concern, and you know, the Trent thing's going great. He looks really good in midfield. But it's the same for all of them, I suppose, when they play this system. They can get a little bit caught out defensively when one of the defenders goes in midfield. That's just the way it goes. If their football's good enough, they won't have too many problems with that. I just wonder if a centre-back in January might be something they go for, given, you know, the amount of the midfield change and the front line attacking options. Could the defence be, could use a, you know, a real classy centre-back to play alongside Virgil van Dijk? You know, and provide extra cover when people are out. You've got Joe Gomez that I feel is pretty comfortable at right back if you want to go down a road of Trent into midfield or sitting out a little bit if you want a more of a solid back four. Matip's been he hasn't been consistent. He's had a lot of injuries as well. Whether in January they try and get somebody else that might help their chances, given where they are. They're only 2 points off of Arsenal, Rob. Two points off Arsenal. Absolutely. And you feel like this Arsenal team, the Liverpool team is growing, improving by every game, given, you know, the nature of how different the team is when you've got three different central midfield players. It makes a big difference both defensively and in the attacking side of it as well.
Yep, ticking on nicely. Important, obviously, month December. We'll see how that fares up for Liverpool and how things go into the new year. Let's get to a few other results, mate, from this obviously busy midweek. Fulham 5, Nottingham Forest 0. There was all the talk about some pressure on Steve Cooper pre-game. Certainly talk and pressure on after conceding 5 goals. Iwobi with a couple, Jimenez with a couple of goals, which will do his confidence no good. 2 really smart goals, and Kenny with another. When you're under that kind of pressure, mate, when people are starting talking about your job and then your team go and lose 5-0 away, the owner's there and the cameras keep going to the owner and to the bench, it's just not a good look, is it? And I'm one of them who would love to see Steve Cooper be given a little bit more time. I'd like his group of players to give him a little bit more. I think some of these players owe him. You know, he's brought them up into the Premier League. He's given the opportunities, kept him in the league. But too many more days like this, mate, and he won't be there.
Well, so I'm with you. I'm with you, Rob. The job that he's done at this football club, Nottingham Forest, to be back in the Premier League is joyful, really, given this club's history. You know, we know what sort of club it is. Yeah. We know what sort of fans they've got there, Rob. I played at Nottingham Forest many times at City Ground. It's a really great club. And the work he's done has been brilliant. So, absolutely with you, Rob. Not yet. Don't fire him. Don't fire him. And the ovation I saw, you know, the scenes after the game,
Rob. It's very different now, isn't it? That's the difference between, you know, most fans and this Forest fans. They love this guy. Appreciate him.
They lost 5-0. And he said afterwards, Robert, I'm embarrassed that they're giving me so much. So when you've got that, you still got that connection with the fans and they're still behind the manager, don't fire him.
No.
Don't fire him. And I know that Maniakis, the owner, has a reputation of his other club, Olympiacos, that he changes managers, that he changes them a lot. Please be patient because, you know, I think we all wanted the expectation was there's going to be growth this year, more players. The Brendan Johnson thing was a weird one, Rob, because they took the money for him late in the window. I think they went and bought, like, was it five or seven new players with that money? And then, like, Steve Cooper's like, you know, I've got all these other... So when you think the most of the work's done, which it probably is, he's still got another bunch of players to come in to try and organise. Even look at his bench. When we do our prep work, Rob, and we get our research department, we get the squads. Their squad's massive. Their squad's like the biggest squad that I think we have. And they're all expecting... they're all, like, first-team players. They all want to play. So it's a difficult job. Of course, I've been disappointed with the way the team's played. At times, I've been disappointed with the manager's kind of... set up with the team. It's been a bit pragmatic for me where, you know, others now we're seeing it with more expansive styles that are doing great. It's better to watch. He hasn't gone down that road.
No.
So, but that, all that being said, for me, this is one of those where you've got to be sure that he's not the guy. You've got to be sure. Mm. And right now, there's still a bit of gap between them and the bottom three. Let's just hold fire. Yeah. See how they go the next month or so, I'd say, Rob. Yeah. I'd say the next month or
let's get to January,
and then make a judgment.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Yeah. And I think the fans might have a say in that. I think if the fans are baying for it, then I know it's easier to you know, flick the trigger and make that decision. But I just get the sense those fans might just have given him a bit of a stay in execution. A couple of games, can he get a couple of wins and just stay away from it? Yeah. Last win was against Villa, would you believe? 2-0 against Villa. I think it was like September or something.
Yeah, that was a good performance.
Crazy. Yeah. Okay, let's move it on to the Amex. Brighton-Brentford. So this was the two owners, weren't they, who split. One went off to Brentford and carried on doing good things at Brighton. Two very well-run clubs, two clubs with great recruitment and managers and, you know, the setup behind the team. And Brighton win the game 2-1. And again, Hinchelwood, who's one of the young kids who's come through the academy, another Brighton player who comes in and, you know, looks the part and is well grooved and tactically smart. But an interesting game, good win for Brighton. Obviously, Brentford away from home, he'd be a little bit disappointed. There's a few incidents in this one, and Brighton and Burma, Rob, scored a penalty, but then went off with an ankle injury, which won't be great, obviously, with Ivan Toney still not available for at least a month or so. Pascal Gross gets an equaliser back for Brighton. And then Hinchelwood comes up with a header late on at the in the second half with the far post, which was enough to give all 3 points. A couple of incidents in this one, Rob. I don't know if you saw the Johan Wiese sort of swipe out with his hand at Billy Gilmore. Both got yellow cards. I thought he was a little bit lucky there under the eyes of the referee. I mean, I know there wasn't an awful lot of contact, but a hand in the face of an opponent, Rob, which we know what that can often lead to.
Yeah, I'm disconnected. I don't get it. I don't. You know, we had one of these before, Rob, and you're the one with the great memory. I'm not. But we had another one where somebody. Oh, it was the flipping cuff to the face, wasn't it? It wasn't a straight red card. Who was that?
Yeah.
Remember that one where the player was beyond, Newcastle game? Was it Newcastle? It's Bruno Guimarães, wasn't it?
Bruno, yeah, against, on the back of Lexham. Juninho, wasn't it? Juninho.
Yeah, it was. He was Juninho. Yeah. I saw it. It was like. Sorry for those who are listening. It was a jab, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He struck him. He pulled his arm out and he struck him across the face. It's like, wow. So that's okay, is it? And again, we get the rules out every time, and it's violent conduct. And there's a paragraph that's very specific and says if you deliberately strike an opponent in the face or head with your arm or hand, then that's violent conduct.
Red card offence.
We saw another one. So I'm with you. I don't know. And, oh, sorry. The final bit is unless the force is negligible. No,
yeah.
So basically, yeah. It's if you're grabbing somebody's face or something. And this was a jab.
There's enough action in there. Yeah.
So
I'm a little fortunate.
I don't know. But what I want to add to this, Robbie Earl, is when I'm going to bring in my little underappreciated performer.
Oh, your second
and
one.
And this is my little
two.
Star player. Yeah. Well, yeah. The other one's runner up. This is my winner. And he's a little player that I couldn't love any more. He ain't quick. He's not big. But, he is
not
the most
clever
little player. Well, I was more of that stuff I could say. Pascal Gross is one of my favourite players in the league. Pascal Gross gets more underappreciated. Nobody cares about Pascal Gross. They've all heard his name, Pascal Gross, playing for Brighton. And he chips in with the odd little goal. Scored the goal today. Made a beautiful assist for the header you talk about, the young kid, to make it 2-1. And I would implore people to, when they see Brighton play, just watch how he plays. He's got these clever little turns and tricks that fool everybody. Mm. And he ain't got no pace to get away from people, but he creates a little bit of space and makes good things happen. And, the whole point of this little thing that we do every week, Rob, is just to highlight players that are actually, they're really good pros or they're really good players that go under the radar a little bit. And I think he's over 30, so he's not going to be a star player for a big club. But his quality on the ball and his delivery and his eye for goal with both feet, and his versatility, by the way, I just think he's a brilliant little player. And we say it in the studio, don't we? We laugh about it because I like him as a player. And I'm like, there he is. Look at Pascal Gross. He'll play a little, he'll do a clever little fake, a little Cruyff turn. And I just think he's a brilliant little player. And I think there's any time to mention him, it's today when he scores a goal and he makes an assist with his left foot, dinks it to the back post. I think he's a brilliant little player. And, I think he's somebody that people should watch out for when, and I know the young players get the headlines at this club and there's some future stars there even now. But Pascal Gross is still an important part of this team. So there you go.
It's a good chat, mate. And I tell you what, when we sat down with De Zerbi in the summit, that Premier Summer Series tournament, he spoke about Pascal Gross and said, there's a great manager in the making in him. Said he's got a brilliant understanding of the game.
Oh, right.
He says we sit down and talk tactics and he challenges me and all that. So really interesting. He's obviously a thinker as well and one of those that may end up on the staff at Brighton one day. So, yeah, good shout.
Yeah.
Pascal Gross, Musty's underappreciated performer of the week. Well, I'm going to go to the game on Tuesday, was that? Yeah, Wolves 1, Burnley 0. He Chang Wang with the goal, 8th Premier League goal of the season. Gary O'Neill's men get the job done against a Burnley team that were coming off a 5-0 win against Sheffield United. A bit of confidence, first home win for Burnley. But Vincent Kompany's team having a little bit of a struggle, just trying to adapt themselves between the football they played in the Championship and getting it right and getting enough points in the Premier League. And with this game, mate, I want to go to my underappreciated performer of the week. Now, first of all, I'll tell you his name. You probably wouldn't even know him or know what he looks like. Dan Bentley, and you'll be saying who. Dan Bentley is the number two goalkeeper for Wolverhampton Wanderers. Generally, he's been number two behind Jose Sa. Jose Sa injured his back at Arsenal at the weekend, so Dan Bentley made only his fourth ever Premier League appearance. Kept a clean sheet for Wolves, which they haven't done at home for something like 12 games. So, and I said before the game when we were doing the warm-ups, it's one of those days where if Wolves keep a clean sheet, they'll win the game because they've got people who can score goals. How it works, they keep a clean sheet, Yi Chang Wang gets the goal. And why I picked out Dan Bentley, mate, for a couple of reasons. One is he's a 30-year-old English defender who's played at Southend, Brentford and Bristol City, so he's not had a glamour career. He's number two at Wolves and probably is that guy, Rob, and it's a kind of a underappreciated for all number two goalkeepers, really, who have to train as hard as everybody else in the week, works with the goalkeeper to get the best of it, the number one, and then the number one plays on a Saturday, and the number two goalkeeper generally sits on the bench for 90-odd minutes, watches the game, has a shower and goes home, and yet has to keep training every week, never knows when they're going to be called on. And Dan Bentley, with the clean sheet for Wolves, stepping in as number two and just living the life of a number two goalkeeper in the Premier League, where he's not the kind of goalkeeper that's going to have unrest and go, I want to go and play somewhere in the Premier League. He's probably happy to be number two. Dan Bentley is my underappreciated performer of the week.
I like it, mate. I like it. Really like the shout. And I think it's fascinating about the number two. Maybe another day we'll get into the details of some of these characters that number two goalkeepers. But it's a really interesting and a fun selection, Rob, and a clean sheet. You know, I think you're right. You know, these guys are coming in, and they've got to do their best for whatever time they've got, then they're probably out the side again, sitting back on the bench again. Mm. So I thought you were going to go He Chang Wang. I don't know whether we've had him before. He's having a brilliant season, by the way, Wolves. Yeah, isn't he? The He Chang Wang, he's having a brilliant season. But no, I like it. I like it. I like Dan Bentley. And hopefully we'll see, you know, a few more games of him between the sticks. So good shout.
Absolutely.
Final game, Robbie Earl, is the final game we're going to. Just quickly, because we're long again, I think. Crystal Palace 0, Bournemouth 2. Bournemouth, mate. Yeah. Andoni Iraola is finding his way. I hope Bournemouth are giving Everton a problem, let me tell you.
With the deduction, Bournemouth are giving Everton a problem. They would be one of the team you think, like, we'll keep them down there and move out. Bournemouth are putting it together, as you say, with Iraola.
Yeah, that's 3 wins out of 4, Rob. And the football's coming. Again, like a few weeks ago, I remember like thinking that's better. I think you didn't see the game, Robert. So I remember trying to persuade you. I said, you know what? He's just starting to good possession, good movements, good attacking, kind of getting more chances created. So I think he's finding his way now, Iraola. And you know, the reputation was a big one from Spain. Yeah. Long time to settle. I'm sure it's difficult trying to get used to the quality and the intensity of the Premier League. And of course, it's early yet, and they're still not way away from the relegation zone. But I think they're going to be okay. Yeah. I think he's another smart coach that's found a way to play this expansive style that you know. Again, we'll get into another day, Rob. But the more and more football we see now with these different managers coming into the division, it's totally different style. Absolutely. It's totally different to. Even a few years ago now, Rob, it's like all the teams are trying to play and having smart coaches to try and utilise what they've got and tactically be good enough to create and obviously try to stop goals going in. So he's a good example of a new guy coming in, taking a little bit of time, but a clever coach tactically in this division with these pitches that are so good. If you know what you're doing, you can find advantages and... you know, and get advantages in certain areas of the field at certain times. And it's a good story. And that's another great result. Crystal Palace.
I take some level with Crystal Palace, mate, on 16 points. And I have to say, I don't know if you saw the Roy Hodgson interview after the game, but Roy's bristling a little bit. He was asked a couple of reporters asked him about games coming up and winning games and how's he feeling. And you could tell his back was up a little bit. And they haven't quite... lost a little bit of their spark, Crystal Palace. I know they've had injuries to key people, Eze and Elise is back in the team, I think, now and playing, but just gone a little bit flat for Crystal Palace, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. And I don't know, it's so unfortunate for Roy Hodgson, isn't it? Because, you know, I think we thought that with this squad, it's young, it's exciting, you know, what could he do with this squad? And then injuries to different players at different times. And now it feels like it's going backwards again, which is the problem when he was there. They wanted a fresh impetus of style and of new ideas, which they got with Patrick Vieira. I don't know. He certainly wasn't happy at the end of the game, Rob. No. And he talked about expectations. Mm. Well, fans dream. Course, they do dream. Yeah. They do expect better stuff, particularly when you see other teams and what they're doing,
Brighton,
whether it's
Villa,
Bournemouth and the ones we just talked about and the Brightons and the Brentfords and teams that are in and around the size of Palace and not as big as Palace, some of them. And still finding entertaining ways to win games. That's going to be the problem. At Palace and others that get a bit stodgy. Yeah. There's coaches out there that are bright. And I think that's what those Palace fans might want to see next.
Okay, mate, listen, we're going to wrap things up. Obviously, there's a couple of games tomorrow. Yep. Tottenham playing West Ham, big London derby there. Then Everton play Newcastle, important game for both those teams. If obviously, any big stories come out from those, we'll recap them at the weekend when we do our next podcast. But it's one of them midweeks where you just think the Premier League can't get any better than it does. Man City follow 3 draws with a defeat. Arsenal had rice in their veins. Did you get it, mate? Rice in their veins as they found a way past Luton. Both Man U and Liverpool get wins to make a fascinating top 10 in the league. We'll be back on Sunday. That's September the 10th. We'll look at match week 16, where Villa host Arsenal, third place, top of the table. And on Sunday, Spurs take on Newcastle, the big game in North London. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I need the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.